This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Because we head into the winter meetings, Baseballs and Boring will be at the winter meetings in Dallas. That's me, Brad Foe, will be at the winter meetings in Dallas. Following all the goings on there, the only question right now as we sit here that everyone wants to know is that will Juan Soto choose his team before the winter meetings start in Dallas? Well, we don't know that. I had taken the guess the other day, maybe Friday. I do think that maybe it's slightly before. Maybe they have a press conference at the winter meetings, which is good because they haven't used that stage nearly enough in recent years. But like we said, Juan Soto is the guy that everyone's talking about. So how are we going to advance the conversation? Because that's what we love doing here. And by the way, thank you to Wasabi, Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies for walking side by side with us through this very, very well, highly regarded, well-publicized podcast. You might have been reading about it all weekend long, Baseballs and Boring. In all the newspapers, go check it out. Do yourself a favor and subscribe. All right. So here at Baseball's Board, we'd like to advance the conversation. Today, we're advancing the conversation. Johnny DePuglia is the guy we're advancing the conversation with, the very, very highly respected longtime scout, Latin American scout, worked for the Red Sox, then worked for a long time with the Nationals, now works for the Kansas City Royals. But while he was working for the Nationals, he spearheaded, he led up the charge to sign a guy named Juan Soto in July 2015. And he was a guy who saw Juan Soto. He was a guy who, like he said, took charge and said to the Washington Nationals, this is the guy you're going to want to sign for $1.5 million. Even though, as you're going to hear from Johnny, he was really a one-dimensional player. But they had committed to him. It worked out, and now next thing you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to get between probably a $600 and $700 million contract. Johnny was nice enough to join me on the podcast to reflect, not only to reflect on Juan Soto, about the journey that it took to get him to sign with the Nationals and what that relationship has been like since, how he viewed him, but also just the dynamic of scouting these Latin American players compared to what it used to be. Very honest conversation, very open conversation, very insightful conversation, very entertaining conversation. We appreciate Johnny jumping on. All right. So again, at BB isn't boring, at BB isn't boring. Producer Evan doing an outstanding job on the socials. Do yourself a favor. saying do yourself a favor a couple different times, but that's what I'm saying. Do yourself a favor. A, go to socials at BB Isn't Boring. B, go to the socials to find the link to Swing Juice to get the gear 50% off today, Monday. It's part of the Black Friday sale from Swing Juice. Remember, again, at BB Isn't Boring. That's where you can find the link. And C, listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast. Johnny DePuglia is worth listening to. He is going to be the best Juan Soto content you have all day. All right, here's Johnny. All right, there's nobody I'd rather have on the planet than talking to Johnny right now. That's a fact. I appreciate it. Congratulations to you, Miami sweatshirt, by the way, you're wearing. Finally, you can wear it out in public. I love it.
Yeah, I wore it when we weren't winning either. So
That's good. So I appreciate you, again, you joining. We had talked a few years ago. I was looking up a story that I wrote interviewing you, and it was comparing when your time with the Red Sox, obviously guys that you had dealt with, Bogart and Devers and these sort of guys. And then at that time, I was like, oh, wow, 2009. Oh, yeah, of course, the Nationals, they were winning the World Series in large part because of your help. The first thing I want to do, Johnny, is sort of, if you can take me really quick through your path, through your baseball journey, which we always love to hear from. What has been your path?
I started scouting in 1990 with the St. Louis Cardinals as a part-time scout. And then I was hired as a full-time scout in 1993. And from there, I worked for them till 1990, the end of 97. Scouted internationally for the Giants in 98, 99, and then went to the Red Sox in 99 till 2009, where I went over to the Nationals till, I forgot, was last year I was with them. But now I'm with Kansas City in the same kind of role as a special assistant to the director.
So, and I guess told you before, like, congratulations on the role. I love the Royals. I love going back to, you know, we have a great relationship with Dayton Moore. We have a great relationship with JJ and so many good people there and building such an awesome thing. One of the things I'm kind of curious about is for your role, like you land with the Royals, for your role, how have things changed in how you have to do things, the way that you do things, compared to, say, like when you were working for the Red Sox back, you know, up until 2009 and then the Nationals?
Well, here I'm more like the nail. I don't have the hammer. I have to help craft whatever we're trying to build. I'm more of an advisory role, senior advisory role. So I kind of enjoying it because I'm helping mentor some young guys, guide Dairman to have their careers. But like you said, the Kansas City organization is first class. Everybody here is more like a family. Everybody's very, very professional, very cordial. Everything is very, very, very family oriented, which I enjoy.
That's awesome. So, in regards to, this is sort of jumping right into the meat and potatoes of finding players, which you found so many players or helped find so many players and sign so many players. One of the things I've always found fascinating when it comes to baseball scout, I think it's the hardest thing to do in international scouting because you are projecting so far out. For you, what is the thing, and this is sort of a very broad statement, very broad question, but for you, when you're trying to project these younger guys, these 14, 15, 16-year-olds up until the point where they can sign, what is the things that you are looking for? Because, you know, I have a picture of Ellie De La Cruz at 130 pounds, Johnny, you know? So what are basically the things that you are looking for when you go through that?
Well, it's experience. You have to have experience. You have to have your boots on the ground and know what you're looking at, obviously. But it's getting more and more difficult now looking at kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old because it's a really – like we used to have to draft and follow in the draft. Now you're draft and follow, doing two or three part process. So, but you have to have You have to have experience in what you're looking at. You have to be able to project bodies. You have to be able to project makeup. You have to be able to project what position you think they're going to play in the future. And it's still a high failure rate. But I think if you have a little bit of gray hair and a little bit of experience, you're gonna fail a lot less than a guy that's just starting.
Can you give me an example? I know there's a lot. Can you give me an example of a guy that you were pounding the table for?
I pounded on the table for pretty much everybody that I'm signing. That's just my personality. But I don't know. That's kind of a difficult question, because I think if you're going to put your name on a young man, you got to pound the table for him. You got to make him part of your family. So I pretty much pound on the table for everybody that I want to sign. I think everybody's a big leaguer when I sign him. Unfortunately, that doesn't work out, though.
Yeah, but still, you have to be convicted, right? I mean, conviction is everything, I would imagine.
Right.
And I would imagine also when you probably see some younger scouts there's this element of in baseball, Johnny, you don't have to confirm or deny this, but there's element of baseball of covering everything. We have analytics to cover ourselves. We have, you know, we're covering everything. Well, to your point, if you're convicted and say, I just know I really like this kid and he's going to be a major leaguer, a lot of times the front office might be saying, well, prove it. Well, okay, you're just going to have to take my word for it. You know, am I making that too simplistic?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of times you tell them to take your word for it and you fail.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's a human game where a human has to look at the other human to figure out if that player can be at least a double-A player. I think if a guy gets the double A and performs, he's got a chance to play things, and or create a product where your general manager can trade for a big leaguer with the product that you sign. But I think the only way to really quantify that is with experience. You know, 30 years in Latin America and seeing the players over and over and evaluate your failures to quantify success. Mm. And I think that's the only way. I think it's the only way you can have success down there. I don't think a machine could tell you that a 14-year-old is going to play in the big leagues. It just don't. I haven't been able. And when you do find that machine, let me know. I'll jump on the bandwagon. But I think we're being ignorant to the cause. You have to have the human looking at the human to evaluate. You got to know the culture. You have to know what you're – if you're not part of that culture, it's kind of hard to evaluate the culture that you're scouting.
Is it – do you find organizations, not necessarily your own, the ones you were in, but do you find that organizations are trying that, trying to say we have to quantify, we have to prove that this 14-year-old, you know, through whether it is, hey, let's bring down TrackMan or whatever it is, do you find that the organizations are desperately trying to do this?
I think a lot of it's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some organizations are evaluating on that concept. You know, TrackMan doesn't give you the numbers that equate to what they're looking for, they won't sign the player. I respect that. That's what they want to do. But I, I'll put my eyes against a machine any day. You know, my failure is against a machine any day. You know, and I think it's, I don't know. I think when you figure it out with years of what that machine has done, and you figure out what the years of a veteran scout has done, I think the veteran scout wins out.
Well, let me ask you this. So this is going to, we'll spin it forward to the man of the hour, which is Juan Soto. How would Juan Soto be scouted now at the age that you had a huge, huge hand in signing him with the Nationals? How would he be viewed and scouted now compared to how he was back then?
I mean, I don't know what his analytic numbers were when he was young, because I didn't look at him. I just saw a guy that used the whole field and barreled the baseball with minimal other tools, but he did have a high leverage bat that really, you know, made me have high interest in him, because you're signing, like we talked about this before, you're signing a guy with one tool, and we did give him $1.5 million for a guy with one tool. So you had to be really, you know, really sure on the bat to give a guy $1.5 million. It wasn't one of those $50,000 signs. Kind of like what Boston did with Devers, you know, they were sold on the bat and they signed it.
Do you remember? This is a cliche question, Johnny, but do you remember the first time you saw Soto?
Yeah, he was a left-handed pitcher.
Really? Yeah. Okay, all right. And you said that guy's going to be the best hitter in baseball.
My first impression wasn't very. Very good, because he was a left-handed pitcher. But my area scout, Modesto Ulloa, did a real good job. Our staff did a really good job, and they kept on him, and they saw him as a hitter. They brought me back, and even the first impression as a hitter wasn't something that, you know, I was crazy about, but there was something there, and we followed up, and we got the deal done.
How old was he when you first saw him as a hitter?
It was like 14 and a half. As a pitcher, 14 and a half. As a hitter, probably just after he turned 15.
Okay. But in that time, did you see – I mean, and this is exactly what I'm talking about, Johnny, is that I give you so much credit, because to say, I see this in him. I see this in this kid, and it's going to evolve. Now, like, who would have known – maybe you would have known, I don't know, that he was going to evolve into what he did. But even in that year or so – before you signed him, did you see like sort of the evolution? Okay, he's starting to get it. He's starting to physically mature and all of that. Did you see that?
Yes. I mean, it was like buying a classic car without wheels, no engine, no AC. And then all of a sudden it all came together. Like, wow, that's a beautiful 69 Chevelle. You know, that's the way it works out. You gotta put the wheels on them, and you gotta put the engine, the AC, and then it all equates, and you go, oh, okay, I want to buy that car.
All right, so for you, when did the wheels get on Juan Soto?
The wheels started getting on him when I see that ball go in the opposite field with a little bit more thump, and then, you know, starting to pull a little bit more. But his barrel awareness as a hitter was just as freaky as anybody I've ever seen.
Really? Really?
He barreled like Pedroia. Pedroia was the Red Sox. You saw the first impression, but when you saw him, you know, hit, he barreled baseballs up, and that's what sold me.
So, when another big part of this too is relationship building. I guess how many teams were in on Soto when you signed him?
I think four that were, you know, high interest. I think the involved and. I forgot the other team, but Arizona got out late. But we were just going to get me up to date. So when he went to Fort Lauderdale, I was there early in the morning, and we worked him out, and that sold the deal.
Well, and another big part of it is obviously relationship building, right? I mean, this is a huge, huge part of it. And we had David Ortiz on the other day. And David's talking about how, you know, he's friends with the family. He lives in the same complex. And the mom makes the best oxtail you've ever had. I'm like, okay, that's great. And so, but I would imagine like that, but that's the type of thing that you guys have to, relationship building, not only with the player, but with the family too, right?
Yeah, well, the relationship that David has with Soto was started by me. I'm the one who introduced him, and that's he's enjoying the oxtail because of me. But if you don't have a relationship with the Busconas down there, you're gonna buy cubic zirconias consistently. You're not gonna get a real diamond because there's a lot of fake product down there.
Yeah,
you're not connected. You can get bad goods.
So when did Juan is developing and becoming the player that he became, and you know David, you've known David for a while. So did you say, okay, you know what? There's not a lot of guys that you can say this could potentially be this guy. But, you know, talking to David, I said the easy pitch, David, is walking in there saying, hey, the Red Sox need the next Juan Soto. I mean, then the next David Ortiz. But
right.
for you, I mean, you know the guy, you know the personality, you know everything about him. Like, this is the type of special player where we can actually say that about him, right?
Well, if you're gonna start a corporation, you wanna have a guy that represents that corporation in a very professional way. I've always thought of Juan as the Derek Jeter of Latin American players. So the way he dresses, the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks English, you know, he's like a Marine, you know, the way. And if you want to have a high price guy to mold your younger players to be that like him, he's the guy that you would want to represent your organization.
Can I ask you, when you saw that in him, you saw, like you said, it was an evolution with the bat-to-ball skills, with the ability on the baseball field. But when did you realize that all the things that you just said, that he was going to become that sort of human being?
Well, I think when he learned English in 1 year, you know, and then when he started describing breaking balls at 16, how they spin and how they, you know, what was the rotation on the clock. Then I knew I had an advanced young man, you know, as far as a mindset. And that, through the years, I've never seen a lad player with that kind of mind. The only other kid that ever had that type of makeup was probably Bogarts. You know, Bogarts was very advanced in his profession.
I mean, that's such...
Normally, it's a copycat society. Those kids copy whatever they see on TV or whatever big leaguer's wearing. You know, it's and Juan isn't like that.
That's such a huge thing, right? I give an enormous amount of credit to anybody who learns English that quickly and prioritizes learning English that quickly. Because I've seen guys in the major leagues, even, you know, and they're well into their major league career. And it's, if you want to be the leader of the team, you know this, Johnny, is that if you want to be, it's, you have to reach all corners of the clubhouse.
You got to communicate. Communicate. This language. You can't be a leader in the United States of America by just speaking Spanish alone. You have to be able to communicate in English. You know, you have to be able to communicate in the language that pays you. You know, you don't get paid with pesos. You get paid with dollars in the United States.
Is it? I mean, I don't know how you feel. You have such a unique perspective of Juan. But as we're sitting here on the precipice of this awesome contract for him, this awesome opportunity for him, I mean, you must feel great for him, number one, but also this, the perspective of, you've watched his journey and you walked his journey with him too. It must be a unique time for you.
I mean, I'm proud of him. I wish I would have got 1% of what he's going to make on the contract, but unfortunately it didn't work out that way. But yeah, you feel like a proud daddy, you know. He represented me well, and I tried to represent him well. I've always talked very highly of him, but he's a special kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he's a special human being.
Mm. Well, is there anything that, so just talk to a little bit about like what your role, if you like, in terms of what it looks like for you. You go in the winter meetings? Do you go to winter meetings at all?
Yeah, I'm going in the winter meeting. I'm part of the Scouts Foundation, so I run the international side of the Scouts Foundation, so I have to be there for that, and I get there on Monday and I leave Wednesday.
Okay, well, I hope to see you and present you to your Baseballs and Boring t-shirt to you, because I don't replace, listen, I'm not replacing the you I'm not replacing. Yep. This is a baseballs and boring T-shirt. It's, I'll make sure I hand deliver it to
you. You can't replace the U.
No, never, never.
That's running in my blood.
I know. It's. I can't believe Alex Corazon chose Liverpool over the U today. I can't believe that. So,
but Alex, that's a good man.
Yeah. All right, Johnny. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Thank you.